3:10, then turn your Bibles to John 5. John 5. We studied last week. I want to kind of remind ourselves of what we did last Sunday. We looked at some of the claims Jesus made in the book of John. One of those claims was that he was the Son of God. And we looked at about how he didn't just make those claims, but they were sustained. But the claims he made were very, very clear, and they got the picture. And I want to reread to us verse 18, just to emphasize that. The Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, that was with the working of a miracle, but he had said that God was his Father. And we studied that last week, and we made the points about that and the sustaining of that. But after thinking about that even more, I wanted us to understand and appreciate that me and you can make the same claim. We studied last week about Jesus making the claim that he was the Son of God. I just want to encourage us today to understand we can say the same thing. For those dealing with health issues, for those dealing with family issues, with those dealing with just things that at least in the present hour, somewhat winning, somewhat kicking your teeth in. I want to remind us of the great privilege we have that we are children of God and the blessings that come with that, because it's just incredible to think that we can make the same claim Jesus did. We are a son of God. We are a child of God. And that's an incredible relationship. The parent-child relationship is a special relationship. It's a close relationship. In the Psalms, it says, blessed is the one whose quiver is full. It's a special, special thing. But even in the spiritual sense, we have to up the ante a little bit to think of the spiritual relationship, because we are children of God. How incredible that is. Now I want us to look at that real briefly this morning. First of all, we are a child of God because of adoption. So let's get that clear. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus was called the only begotten Son. We are not a son like he is. So we can make the same claim. We are children of God. But there is a difference, and we need to develop that, and we need to recognize that and appreciate that. We weren't begotten as he is. There was only one of those. But we are his children. And it's because of adoption. Ephesians chapter 1. We studied that, I think it was last summer. And we looked at Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3 is that long list of spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. One of those blessings, verse 5, we were foreordained unto the adoption of children by Jesus to himself. We have been adopted. And we're going to talk about definitions in just a moment. Adoption of children by Jesus to himself according to the good pleasure of his good will. Not only did he adopt us, it was his pleasure to adopt us. It was his good will to adopt us. Just let's just stop a second. Are you feeling special? All the things going on in your life, all the things that just kind of push and kick and stuff, are you feeling special? Are you kidding me? It was the good pleasure of the Lord to take us in. Let's remind ourselves of the definition of adoption. We're familiar with the concept. We know that very well. I've written them down. Definition of adoption: to take by choice into a relationship. That fits, doesn't it? We understand when a child is adopted, to take by choice into a relationship. It's what God did. Another definition: to take or receive as one's own. We understand we understand present day adoption. To take or receive as one own. We get that, right? That's what he did. The Lord, by choice, took us in. The Lord, by choice, received us as his own. So for the second time, and what's going to be a lot of times, I'm going to ask you, are you feeling special? To put that definition to me and you, and then try with eyes wide slap open to take that in with all of my weaknesses, with all the things I've done so shameful, the Lord with pleasure received me as his own. You got to be kidding. With all of my weaknesses and temptations that I have failed at, the Lord willing to receive me as his own with pleasure. Are you kidding? Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. Me and you can make the same claim. It's a different claim. We're not the only begotten. We were adopted. But with pleasure, he took us as his own. Tell him thank you and appreciate the privilege, and we ought to feel special. This adoption brings blessings. Look in Romans chapter 8. There were blessings that came with this adoption. You're familiar with the phrase, membership has its privileges. A lot of companies will publicize that. And a lot of things, they want you to know, if you're one of us, there are things that go with that. There are perks to membership. Membership has its privileges. The adoption of the Lord has blessings. And I want us to look at a couple of them. One of them is we get to call him Abba. That word doesn't mean much to us, but I hope it does after we remind ourselves what it is. Look in Romans 8. Let's just emphasize the blessing first. Romans 8 verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. And that can be us. If we are led by the Spirit, we are a son of God. We make the same claim Jesus did. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You have received the spirit of adoption. Here we are. The spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba Father. The Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Verse 15, we have been there's an adoption that took place. Verse 15, because of that adoption, we can cry, Abba Father. And again, to us that doesn't mean anything because of the language deal. So let's talk about the word. The word Abba is a Hebrew word, and it signified a closeness as opposed to formality. And what I mean by that is, especially when you were younger, remember filling out some type of application at school or some type of thing about, and it would say, there would be a blank, mother and father. And you would fill in the blanks. Well, there is a sense and there is a formality of being a father. The birth certificates, if you go get your file out and pull a birth certificate, it will have a place for father. Formal line. That's not what this is talking about. The word Abba is not talking about the formality of having a father in the flesh. It's talking about the closeness of that relationship. If I feel out of form today and there is a blank for me saying Father, I know what name to write there. But I'm going to tell you, I have never, to my knowledge, one time in my life called my dad Father. That's not who he is. That's not what I see him. That's not what I think of him. He's not my father. He's my dad. And I know there's a lot of people here who understand that he's my dad. That's the relationship he offers us. By choice, he took us in. And then he offers us a relationship that goes beyond the formal, but to closeness. And the beauty of what Paul's telling the Romans is, he says you can call him Abba. There's a relationship, a closeness. That's the word Jesus used in the garden. Does that word sound familiar? In the garden, three times, Abba, Father, let this cup pass from me. Are you feeling special? Because the very same relationship, that closeness that allowed Jesus to call God Abba. Read it again. Verse 15. He offers it to us. He wants us to see him. There's a reverent fear. We talked about that this morning. You fear him who can condemn both body and soul. But he wants there to be a closeness too. And he offers that closeness. And it's just incredible to think that we can call him what Jesus called him because he has offered that relationship to us. Are you feeling special? Go to Galatians 4. the blessing of this adoption. He considered us to be sons, not simply servants. Now, can you imagine that the setting Paul's about to give the Galatians is? Imagine the time of slavery, masters and servants, and imagine that a servant, a bond servant, slave, was adopted by the master of the house. Imagine that situation taking place. In Galatians verse 4, you might want to mark your spot. We're going to come back to Galatians 4 several times. There's a lot of blessings that are here. But I want us to start at the first half of Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. And to see that we're in the very same concept of thought, look in verse 6. Actually, drop back into verse 5. To redeem those that were under law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, took us in. Verse 6, because you were sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son to your heart, crying, Abba, Father. There's a relationship offered. Therefore, verse 7, you are no more a bondservant, but a son. It wasn't just formality. Could you imagine the master of the house, and he pulls this bondservant in, is you're not a slave anymore. You're mine. And you're with me. You're welcome in my home. You're welcome in my family. I with pleasure take you in to me. That's what we are. An honored child. The point is, this is not some Cinderella story. Remember all the little children's stories? So many times, I don't know why that happens so often, but so many times in those fairy tales, those stories, there would be an adoption that took place, but then there was a mistreating. Now, someone was not, the child was adopted in, but the mother or sometimes the father was mistreated. This is not some Cinderella story. You are my son. I have adopted you. I have brought you in. You're my child. That's the blessing. Look in 1 John chapter 3. Again, just with eyes wide open and mouths dropping with shock. Let's appreciate the beauty of this verse. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold. So before John even continues on, get a load of this. Behold, the manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Amen to that. It's a bestowment, and John just says, can you believe it? What manner of love has been shown? That He has taken us in with pleasure. He has allowed a relationship to be formed and reciprocated. And then He says, you're mine. You are a son. And now go back to Galatians 4. Because that was not the end of the verse. Let's read that verse again, verse 7. You are no more a servant, but a son. And being a son, then you are an heir of God through Christ. He adopted us by choice, allowed a relationship, took us in as a child, and to use our phraseology, He put us in the will. You're not a servant, you're my son. And being a son, you are an heir. What a wonderful thing. We're in the will. But it leads to an interesting question. An heir of what? Okay, verse 7, he doesn't go on here, but other places do. What are we an heir to? Again, mark your spot, but turn to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, what is it that's possible for us because we are a child? Because we're His child. And because He has bestowed upon us an inheritance. What are we talking about? 1 Peter chapter 1, start with me in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten unto us again a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. He said, you're an heir. Here we go. to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefilable, fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. And again, I'm just going to ask the question, do you feel special? The Lord adopted us. Are you serious? He allows a close relationship to be formed. And it's His pleasure to do that. Are you serious? He considers us children, and He's made us an heir of an incorruptible, endless, and time-on-time extension around the throne of God in heaven. That's the inheritance. So all the things that weigh upon us and all the things that just kind of just those down times and those valleys, and just remember who we are today. Just remember what we are. We are children of God. We can call Him Father. And we have an inheritance waiting for us. You feeling special? I hope so. Go back to Galatians 4. Another blessing of being His child. Another blessing of this adoption is in verse 9. In verse 9 he says, but after you have known God, or rather are known of God, how do you turn again to those weak and beggarly elements? He talks about the life that they had come out of, the idolatry that they would have one time been a part of. He said, but you know God now. And then he says, but not only that, God knows you. And if we're not careful, we'll forget the blessing of that. God knows us. Remember, there's a relationship. Father to son. Father to child. And He knows us. And doing some of the history and reading of Old Testament times, especially during those time periods when there were multiple wives. David had multiple wives. Solomon, as you well know, had multiple wives and multiple concubines. When you read the history of that particular time, it's very, very likely that the father didn't have a lot of day-to-day contact with some of those children. I mean, think about Solomon. 300 of this, 700 of that. How much time do you think he spent in each of those homes? A lot of times in that type setting, it was the mother that was responsible for most all of it. And if that's true, maybe that explains a little bit about why David's children behaved the way they did. You know, how much personal daily influence did he even have? There were fathers that may not have even really known their children very, very well. He knows us. He knows you. Are you feeling special? The God of heaven and earth, that by the power of His voice made everything that we see and imagine, knows you. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. And as you're turning there, I meant to mention this earlier. Not everyone breathing today has the blessing of calling God Abba. The relationship isn't there. And the truth is, not everyone breathing today is really known by the Father. And we're not questioning His deity. We're just taking Him at His word. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and in your name done many wonderful works? I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work lawlessness. I never knew you. Are we questioning deity? No. There's not questioning God's knowledge. This is questioning who God has a relationship with. It's not limiting His deity. Not everyone can call Him Abba. Not everyone has that closeness with Him. Not everyone is recognized by Him as being theirs. And that's the beauty of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Turn there with me, please. I hope this makes you feel special. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's kind of interesting how the context of this verse falls. He begins to make note of false teachers. He begins to make note of some of the destruction that false teachers have done. There were two by name, Hymenaeus and Philetus, and they were teaching the resurrection had already come, and people had bought into that, and it was losing their souls over it, losing their faith over it. And then in verse 19, coming off of that immediate context, put your eyes on verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. There is a sealed promise, and here it is. The Lord knows those that are His. Every last one of them. No matter what's happening in the world, no matter what evil is taking place, individually, collectively, the Lord knows those who are His. It's a blessing of adoption. A relationship so close. A relationship of child. Not just a child, but an heir. And then known by the Father. Do you feel special? I would certainly hope so. And I would hope everyone here today would say, that's what I want to be. I want to be a child of God. The truth is, probably most of the people me and you know will make such a claim. Most people in the part of the country where we live, not all, but most, are going to claim to be religious. They're going to claim to believe in the Bible. They're going to claim to that faith in God, and they're going to claim to be His child. But claiming it doesn't make it so. So let's change gears just a moment. One more time. Here's the blessings. Incredible. He adopted us according to His pleasure, allowed a relationship to happen, took us as a child and an heir, and He knows us. Wonderful blessings that we want, right? Turn to John chapter 8, and we're going to look at people who called themselves the child of God. And it was no more true than me calling myself the starting second baseman for the Boston Red Sox. I can call myself what I want to, but it doesn't make it true. You can call yourself what you want, but stating it doesn't make it reality. How do we know that? It's because people made that very statement and Jesus rebuked them harshly for it. Now let's go back to last week. Remember our study? Jesus made claims that were sustainable. He claimed to be the Messiah, but it wasn't lip service. He proved it. He claimed to be the Son of God, and His actions and the words of the Spirit, it was proven. Resurrection proved it. You and I think most in this room, will claim to be a child of God. Can we sustain it? Is it provable? Is it real? In John chapter 8, Jesus is in the midst of a long, we're picking up in the middle of a context where Jesus is talking to Jewish leaders, Pharisees specifically. And in verse 41, the latter half of verse 41, they make a statement to Him. They said, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. There are two things they did right there. The first thing they did was, very, very likely, they would have known about Jesus' birth. They would have very well known. They would have probably known that Mary had Jesus before she and Joseph were fully married. And now they're sticking it to Him. We know your background, buddy. You were born. We weren't born like that. We weren't born of fornication. We have only one Father. God's our Father. You know what they're claiming? They're claiming to be a child. They're claiming to be in a relationship with Him. They're claiming to be an heir. They're claiming to be close. Verse 42. If God were your Father, you would love Me. Do they love Jesus? No, they've already got the plan. They've already talked about killing Him. They were trying to kill Him back in John chapter 5. Well, they don't love Him. If God were your Father, you would love Me. Now you want to add to that? Turn to chapter 14. What does that infer? John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Hang on a minute. You see, there's more to being God's son than just claiming it. There's more to being a child of God than saying, I'm a child of God. No, there are things that go with that. If we're a child of God, we're going to love him. And that love is going to be manifested by action. It's not just lip singing. It's not just speaking it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And now let's just pause and think about all that puts on the table. You can't be a child of God without having developed faith in God, without belief Jesus is who we claim to be. You cannot be a child of God, regardless of your claim. You can't be sustained unless you've repented, confessed Jesus as your Lord, been baptized to wash away your sins. If you love him, you will obey him. And that's what he asked you to do. If you are a Christian, you did that. This relationship started, but you lost it. Got caught up in maybe those things we talked about this morning. Our emphasis gets a little messed up. Our priorities get flip-flopped. And we may have once been a child of God, but it doesn't mean we still are. The relationship, the Abba part, has been severed. The heir part, no longer valid. And I go back to John 8, and here's the result of that, as blunt and as hard as this would have been to stomach for them. And it'd be hard for us to stomach. Let's come clean on that. If we're not God's child, if that's not a sustainable claim, verse 44, you are of your father, the devil. Scary, isn't it? Put all these, kind of pile all this stuff together. Claiming to be a child of God does not make one a child of God. A child of God comes through love and obedience and service. And if we are doing anything other than that, we still have a father, but it's not the Lord. It's not the Creator. You are of your father, the devil. So I guess the question is, who's your father? Who are we in a relationship with? Whose work are we doing? Whose camp are we helping? And I'm going to close in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I've asked time and time again, do you feel special? And I hope that we do. This has just been a reminder. And I don't know why it never crossed my mind last week. We talked about Jesus being the Son of God and claiming that. And I just wanted to remind us we can make the same claim. And if we love him, and if we're obeying his commands, it's just as valid, just as sustainable. And if that be true, let's let our mouths drop in awe one last time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The latter half of that chapter is there are applications being made about who we're in fellowship with and that it doesn't fit to be in fellowship with certain things. And we're called to come out of that in verse 17. Come out from among them. Be separate. There are things you can't join yourself with. You've got to separate yourself. Come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch the unclean things. Have nothing to do with them. And now here's God's part. That was our part. Come out of it. Separate ourselves from evilness. Don't touch it. Don't deal with it. It's not for us. That's our part. And I will receive you. Sounds a lot like adoption, doesn't it? I will take you in by choice. I will receive you as my own. I will receive you. I will be a father unto you. And you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. You feel special? That's incredible. To think that he wants us, that he's made a relationship possible, and that he's made us an heir, and that he knows us, and that it's possible for this to be said of us. He receives us, becomes our father, and considers us his sons and daughters. Get your songbooks out. What's stopping you? What's hindering you from making the same claim that Jesus did concerning his Father? I am a son of God. What's stopping you from saying that? I am a daughter of God. What is it in your life that makes that not valid? Because whatever it is has got to go. Because if we're not a son of God, we're a son of Satan. We're serving somebody. And eternity is an awful long time. And we've got to fix it. We talked about what to do to be saved earlier. For those that have been saved and you've, again, priorities mixed up and you hadn't fixed it, fix it today. Fix whatever has to be fixed so that you can walk out saying, I'm a child of God. Do it while we stand and sing.